Our kind and giving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for gathering us together here at this time for a convention. Thankful for the full day of spiritual fellowship and edification one to another. We entrust now this.
As our last convention for today, the last of the convention today, we have our brother Alan Springer, and he has chosen as his Vesper title, Our Heritage in the Truth. Our Heritage in the Truth. Brother Alan.
VCR on.
Seems an impossible task for each generation to pass the torch of truth unimpaired to the next. With each changing of the guard, a little more of that spirit, a little more of that vision, a little more of that link to the past is lost forever. Oh, how important for each of us to treasure that heritage, to do everything in our power to preserve it, and more than that, to endeavor to live up to the example of those who have gone before us. Our program this evening is dedicated to the old soldiers of the cross. Many of them had personal contact with Brother Russell. Most of them have passed beyond the veil. When their mental and physical powers were failing them in every way, the influence that the truth had upon their lives preserved their minds for the truth. And so they were able to record these words for us that you will hear this evening. As you listen to their testimonies, you cannot help but be impressed with the deep respect they held for the truth, present truth, and for the instrument that God used to give us that truth, our pastor. May each of us take more seriously than ever before the responsibility of the heritage that they have left to us.
The scripture says, now it shall be increased, and it certainly has been increased in my lifetime.
Yes, indeed.
Marvelously increased. The discovery of petroleum so that they could make gasoline has been a marvelous advancement. And the Bible said, when they shall run to and fro, well, you've got to watch when you cross the street.
We had quit going to Methodist Church, Steve.
And he said he wouldn't give us a letter of transferal, and I said I would take it to your ruling. We had tracked it down and put out window cars, and we had Brother Russell to come on Sunday and give a talk. And I was the only one in the town that had a car. I took him to the theater, and then when the theater was over, he gave the lecture.
At the end of the
I picked him up again, and we had about 20 minutes to go to the for the train time. So I took him around the city and showed him some of the homes. I needed the choir. So he drew me aside into the shadows where we could confide, away from the bustle where all the day long I hurried and worried when active and strong. I needed the quiet, though at first I rebelled, but gently, so gently, my cause he upheld. And whisper so sweetly of spiritual things, though broken in body, my spirit took wings to heights never dreamed of. When active and gay, I needed the choir, so he drew me away. I needed the quiet, no prison my bed, but a beautiful valley of blessings instead. A place to grow closer, in Jesus to hide. I needed the choir, so he drew me aside. Should you go first, and I remain to walk this path alone? I live in memory's garden, dear, with happy days we've known. In spring, I look for roses red, in summer, lilacs blue. In autumn, when the brown leaves fall, I'll catch a glimpse of you. Should you go first and I remain? His sweet well done to hear. No lengthening shadow shall creep in to make this life seem drear. We've had so much of happiness. We've had our cup of joy. Our memory is one gift of God that death cannot destroy. Brother Russell used to answer questions, you know, that you put in the box in the vestibule, and then when he came in, he got those questions, and he would answer them. I don't remember what the question was, but I remember him saying one time, he read the question, and then he said, if you get to heaven before I do, you ask the Apostle Peter what he meant.
In 1913, when my mother heard of the truth, through her mother, who lived in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, she sent word if we had an opportunity to hear a lecture given by Bible students to be sure to go to hear. And so from then on, we did. I went with my mother at that time, and I attended the meetings with her. As soon as I heard it explained, I just loved it. I knew it was the truth. But and we had a little later on tabernacle study in our home, and I just rather ate it up as a young girl. I took it in as much of it as I could and understood justification. And I understood what consecration would mean, full consecration, and I felt that it was too big a thing for me to undertake. I just pushed it off as something that was too hard for me to undertake.
Do you remember her seeing the Ferris wheel?
Oh, yes. He was in our town.
In Indiana.
He spoke in our opera house.
Seems though he stopped in just about every city in Hamlet, didn't he?
Oh, he did. Well, our town was about 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. And it was in Tennessee. And the place was packed to hear him. And my mother was the organist of the Methodist Church. But and there was a series of evangelism going on in the Methodist Church at the time. But she didn't told him she wouldn't be there playing. She played at Brother Russell's meeting. And of course, later on, there was a small class, very small class. There were only about 12 or 14 altogether.
What was your impression of Brother Russell when he would speak?
My impression was very wonderful in his explanation of the Bible and of God's plan. Of course, I had heard so much of it already that. I just was thrilled to hear him explain it. And by the time I was 20, I've had experiences that drew me so strongly that I knew the Lord would join me to full consecration and that it wouldn't, with the Lord's help, it wouldn't be too great a step. It would be the only step I wanted to take when I was 20. So that's where I did make my consecration. Well, it's a great privilege to be able to personally send my warmest Christian love to all the dear friends, all those classes who have so wonderfully stood for the truth and are still holding fast to the harvest message that we receive from our Lord. And may God bless us all and keep us faithful.
What do you remember from the photodrama?
The nice old gentleman who was so nice and gentle, and they were so lovely. Yeah, that's just what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
That was my experience with Brother Russell.
Did you speak to Brother Russell personally?
Yes.
Oh, my.
I did.
Can you tell me about that?
I was on committees that served tea and coffee and things. That I had that opportunity of speaking with Brother Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke to me and asked me how I got the truth from where. Mm-hmm. And I told him I got it from him.
And the children are here of God and joined here with Jesus Christ our Lord to an inheritance undefiled and fading away is held in heaven for you who are kept by the word of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last day.
I learned all of it from the past. I do rather. Close to Clay Center, there was a class there. They thought they Well, they did. They thought there was 20 people. Enjoy the people. The farmer left. It was a truth class, what it was. Mm-hmm. For a long time, I had a lot of tracks and stuff on Saturday afternoon to Sunday, so I'd get in the car and go out somewhere to that decent track. But that was one blessing about that. Sometimes I sit around, maybe don't feel like that. Just get out and do a little service. Maybe just help you try. You'd be surprised how much of a big change that makes. But I didn't realize that all I went through, even kid, I'm confident now that the Lord has had it. In other words, the steps was there before I even knew it myself. And I was never really satisfied until I really found the truth. And you know, regardless what you're going through, if you got the truth, you can stand a lot. Well, on the other hand, just like the world today, if they don't have the truth, you can be pretty rough on them, because they don't know what to do. I'd like to talk this over there, buddy, that what the truth has really meant to me, not only what it meant to me, but the way it prepared me so I could help others. But I'm very thankful for that I have got the truth, because it's always been the very thing I could lean back on any time of, need help. It's been a great pleasure for me to associate with others of like precious faith. And I realize more and more time how precious that truth is really has been, especially as it was given to us through that wise and faithful servant. A lot of different truths here, truth on this truth, but it's the Lord's truth that we want. The truth of that kingdom, and I'm very thankful to Heavenly Father that I encountered, that He didn't accept me or been called worthy of having that privilege of having it, especially the privilege I had of trying to help others, although I'm very aggressive in my failures in many places. And I prayerfully consider asking the Lord to help me guide me in the days to come so I can continue. I hear that well done, good and faithful servant. For especially now, the way things are going on in the world, the truth really means a lot. They all say, I think the question was asked once, if you have everything the world offers in exchange of truth, would you make the change? No, under no circumstances. The very best the world has to offer, I couldn't change it. Because if you did, you wouldn't have nothing left. So I want to thank everybody for the privilege of being with you at this time. Accept my testimony. I don't have any personal at all, but I spiritually I'm trying to be with all of you. Lord bless and keep you all.
Truth came into our home in 1897. At the supper table, we cleared off the dishes, and we all got around there with our first volumes and the Bible. Brother Frank Draper from Nebraska was going to speak in Tiffin, Ohio, at Riverview Park in the afternoon on the second coming of Christ. And Mother said, we want to go over here that. So we went to church in the morning. We were going to the Littleton Church. Mm-hmm. We went to church in the morning, Mother went around to the preacher's house, the pastor's after dinner, and told after the service, and told him, and he went there. We all went to the park and heard this talk on the second coming of Christ. And Mother just drank it in. She was just ready for it. Just what she wanted to hear, what she wanted to know.
What did the preacher have to say about it?
He said you can believe, it's all right if you want to believe that, but don't leave the church. No, he didn't want us to leave the church, but hold on to study. And if you want to study and learn more about the Bible, but don't leave the church. So we did we all left the church. Of course, we did go to church and talk the truth about the Lord's second coming, about the kingdom and... Well, when I don't say the truth from that time on, that was in 1897.
Now, I understand that you had some experiences with Brother Russell. Do you remember any of those experiences?
Oh.
What kind of person was he like? What kind of stories did he tell?
Well, he told me about he was in Tiffin, Ohio. That's where I lived at that time. And I was shaking hands with him. He said, Sister, my name was then, I understand you're attending. You're going to the pulpit work. And I said, yes, Brother Russell, I am. He said, why not now? Oh, I said, I'm not ready. I'm not established in the truth. He said, that is the idea. He said, you have a book. You're presenting this book. That answer their question. Get the answer to their question. Oh, I said, Brother Russell, I can do that. I entered the work right away, and I started, I think it was Sandusky, Ohio, and I continued in the work for 12 years. The photograph plates were coming black and white, and so we colored them up, you know. I did that for quite a number of years, and I also did ushering. Brother Russell was all very dignified and very loyal to the Bible, and sympathetic with the friends and kind and loving, you know. But there also was always that. I don't remember, I don't think I can remember any time where Brother Russell was ill-tempered. I don't think so.
No.
He was always a gentleman, dignified and a gentleman. Why I'm here so long, I don't know. I often ask the Lord, I'm ready to, I'd like to go home.
Could you tell us the story about when Brother Hirsch died? Did he give a discourse that day? What was his last
yes.
day?
He went to the meeting in the morning, and he wasn't feeling very well, but he had the discourse to give, and his subject was, we shall see the King in his beauty. He was pretty tired, and the friend saw that and says, Brother Hirsch, why don't you just keep the chair? Don't give a discourse standing. But he stood anyway, and he gave that discourse, but it was played out by the time, the end of it. And that night there, oh yes, I drove the car, he drove the car going down, but coming back, he said, I better do the driving. And when we got to the house, he got out and went in the house, and I took the car around to the garage. And when I came back into the house, he was lying down. He was tired. I called the doctor. The doctor lived down the street a few days away, and she came and listened to his heart, and I saw the expression on her face that she was worried about his condition. And it wasn't more than an hour, he passed away. Right? The doctor was sitting there in their room, and I was sitting beside him. I had my arm around his shoulder, sort of supporting him, you know. Thought it would be a support to him. And he passed away. 6 wives are studying the scriptures. We studied that together, the family.
I don't know what more I can say than the thanking the Lord for you all and praying that you may be faithful and that we may meet on the other side in the kingdom and be with each other, love each other forever.
Smile, everyone. When did you hear of the truth for the first time? And how old were you?
Then I was invited by somebody to hear Brother Russell in Brooklyn, the Academy of Music.
Do you remember what he spoke about?
Yes, about the hope of the kingdom and what will one believe in it and prepare himself for it.
Good.
Now, That was wonderful, the impression. Some friends came over and invited me to go with him to Brooklyn to hear Pastor Olson. But I didn't know what to expect. I said, yes, my father didn't get much English yet. Speak German. So I asked for the Reverend Pankhurst in German. And I got it.
You still have it?
No. At the time, I was busy with a home study course.
Learning the English
language. And I didn't take the time to read it. My father took it. I did. Oh, he said, that's very good. Yeah. He didn't have the truth of the kingdom, but what he read was good. And a little while after, I found time, I had to lay aside my study, read it. Who was it? I hope I find some people that believe that. And I asked different ones, and they said, yes, there is a meeting in downtown Brooklyn, Newark, there you can go. All right, I said, I'll go there. I was introduced to quite a few, and then in a study meeting, this was sitting in a circle with a good leader from
Brooklyn.
And they had many questions and answers, and so from week to week on the Sunday, I learned more of the kingdom. Then I heard Pastor Oswald, oh, I said, I'd like to hear him again. And a few weeks afterwards, we went together there, and then a few years later, in 2016, he got the notice he passed away and died. Now we are more dependent on what he wrote.
Oh, I think it's the most wonderful thing when I was in the hospital. I would tell them, pull up your chair, they wouldn't let me out of the bed. Come over, and I have something to tell you. The nurses and the young guys, when some of them thought I was very cheerish, they were going to cheer me up. And I told them about the talk about it. I said, well, that really sounds good. And one was listening behind the door, and I didn't know it.
Oh, yeah.
And when she came in, she wanted to know. And she brought, and I said, here is Dawn magazine, had them all lined up in old ones. I said, help yourself to any of them. And she went, came in, and the one that was listening from behind the door and wanted her name listed on, and I gave her the one. And she said, her husband read it, and she read it, and they were very pleased, and they wanted a subscription.
I have been asked
to share some memories of my early years in the truth. Now that I have almost reached the age of 102, there are very few of my generation still on this side of the veil. I was born April 23, 1893, in McGregor, Iowa, a beautiful little town on the bluffs of the Mississippi River. My father, Alva Rogers, was a school teacher. My mother, Kitty Blackburn Rogers, was a seamstress. They both attended the Methodist Church, where my father was superintendent of the Sunday school. In 1893, my father received Volume 1 from Brother Charles Jordan, who owned the general store. When my father began reading The Divine Plan of the Ages, he continued reading way into the night. And by the time he finished the chapter, Nature's Distinct, he realized he had found the truth. Of course, he immediately withdrew from the Methodist Church. My mother was the church organist, and she never accepted the truth. My father used Zion's Glad Songs as the music book for the school where he taught. And each day he opened class with a scripture verse. In those days, even the textbooks used Bible verses for teaching grammar and other lessons. As a child, I loved to read. I especially remember the Elsie Dinsmore books, which had Christian principles woven into the stories. I read Scripture Studies, Volume 1, when I was 9. My brother, two sisters, and I attended a non-denominational Sunday school where we learned the Bible stories and memorized scriptures and hymns. I always had a strong feeling for the Lord and His Word. This was probably increased by the fact that my mother was ill for a number of years and spent much time in the hospital. I have a hymn from Zion's Glad Songs, Sweet Will of God, which my father copied and sent to her. Sweet will of God, my refuge thou, my safe abiding place. Till all the storms of life are past, and I shall see His face. Not as I will, my song shall be, though sometimes sung through tears. Faith's rainbow lights our darkest cloud, and sweet God's will appears. My mother died when I was 13. Her favorite hymn, In the Secret of His Presence, was sung at her funeral. Several years earlier, we had moved to Farmersburg, Iowa. Shortly after my mother's death, my older sister, Jenny, who had already consecrated, was given the opportunity to go to Chicago, where she took a business course and got an office job. She was in the Chicago class, along with the Copelands, Morehouses, and Fosses in those early years. I consecrated in 1908 at the age of 15. I recall a hymn that helped to bring me to that point. So near to the Savior, what keeps thee away? So near to the Savior, yet why thus delay? Give up every idol, whate'er it be, and come unto Jesus. He's waiting for thee. My sister Jenny sent money, so my father, younger sister, and I could attend a convention. My turn came in 1912, and I went to the convention in Fertile Springs, Missouri. It was my first opportunity to be immersed. Brother Russell gave the baptism talk. I remember another talk he gave where he illustrated proper self-esteem. First, he walked across the stage showing lack of confidence. Then he walked across the stage showing too much self-confidence. And then he walked across the stage showing proper dignity, bearing, and self-esteem. Because I had been baptized, I thought I should give a testimony. I said, "I am Sister Rogers from Farmersburg, Iowa." The very next person to testify said, "I am Brother Farmer from Rogers, Arkansas." I returned home with well over 100 names in my manna and still have a large roll-up photo of the convention. A letter my father wrote is in the reprints, page 4449. Many of the pilgrims stopped at our little town, and we were given the use of the town hall without charge. My father organized what he called reading circles using volume 1. They were held in the banker's home. At least 4 brethren came into the truth through these efforts and personal witness. One of my special memories was the privilege of going to Chicago and hearing at least 10 talks by Brother Barton. I was with a group of young people who followed him as he spoke in the various suburbs. Early in 1915, we had 3 parts of the photodrama shown in our town and a finale lecture given by a visiting speaker. Shortly after that, my father made a trip by train to see his brother in western Iowa. On the way home, he got into a heated discussion with a Lutheran minister. During the night, he had a stroke. Jenny came from Chicago the next day, and when he died the following day, her first words were, "He's in glory." After leaving school teaching, my father had been the postmaster in Farmersburg, and I was the assistant. I stayed there until October, but wanted to move to where there was a class. About the same time, Sister Adela Olke had been told she would have to choose between her job at the family dry goods store in Farmersburg and her religion. She chose the truth. Sister Olke and I went to Madison, Wisconsin, where my younger sister's in-laws, brother and sister Sargent, lived. We were richly blessed in our study and fellowship in the Madison class. If for any reason we didn't feel like going to meeting, we would think, "Brother Hans will be there, and he is so faithful." In addition to testimony meetings, we had prayer meetings where we would all kneel in prayer. In between the prayers that were given, we would sing a verse of hymn 145, Keep Thou My Way, O Lord. One brother had a roadster, and Sister Olke and I would sometimes go to and from meeting, standing on the running board, she on one side and I on the other. These were the World War I years, the lard and beans saved for the time of trouble were put to good use, along with the flour purchased at a fire sale. When Brother Russell died, we were not too shocked. We expected that all the church would be taken soon. I recall we hid some of our books in the cupboard, and that several brethren were put in prison during the war. We left the society in 1918 over their stand on the war bond issue and other changes. A few years later, the sergeants with whom I had been living moved to St. Paul, Minnesota, and I went along with them. We met with a small class of about 12 in Minneapolis, which included Brother Leon Norby and his parents. Brother Leon and I were married January 1st, 1926. In the late 20s, quite a large number of brethren left the society and we joined together with them. During the 30s, we had the privilege of attending several of the Pittsburgh reunion conventions. A theme of the 40s was reviving the work in the midst of the years. From 1947 to 1953, Brother Leon and I had the privilege of working at the Dome. Our years of association with the brother in the Northeast hold many precious memories. Brother Leon finished his course October 30th, 1976. Since then, I have been living with my daughter and son-in-law, Ruth and Tom Millard, in Florida. I thank the Lord for the continued blessings and privileges of fellowship with the brethren. Looking back over a century, I praise the way the Lord has led me day by day. My physical strength and memory are fading, but I pray that I will never forget the Abrahamic promise, the corresponding prize, and God's four attributes. Through all the years, I have rejoiced in God's attributes of wisdom, justice, love, and power, so beautifully revealed in the divine plan of the ages. My favorite hymn is hymn 324. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. Oh, how can words with equal warmth the gratitude declare that glows within my inmost heart, but thou canst read it there. Through all eternity to thee a grateful song I'll raise, and my eternal joy shall be to herald wide thy praise. Now I'm getting forgetful and have difficulty remembering what I read. But what I learned in earlier years is more fixed in my memory. My advice to anybody younger is to fill their minds with the good things of the truth, because they are going to need them when eyesight goes and health goes. After Jesus fed the 5,000, the apostles gathered up 12 baskets of bread he had blessed and broken, and each apostle had his knapsack full. Brother Russell drew the lesson that we should be prepared for the future and put into our hearts those things we will need later. Dear brethren, I urge you to use your time, talents, privileges, and opportunities so you can look back with joy and not with regret. I thank the Lord for the privilege of living through so much of the Laodicean stage of the church and of feasting on the harvest message from the Lord through Brother Russell, that wise and faithful servant. I send my deepest love in Christ, dear brethren, with my prayers on your behalf. God be with you till we meet again. Your sister by his grace, Sister Mary and Dorothy.
Brother Russell was coming to Omaha. We had great big billboards, life-size, a picture of Brother Russell. And outside the hall, there was a corner of pavement, and they chalked an advertisement. And it was called To Hell and Back, Free Seats and No Collection. The brethren that came there that I remember the best as speakers was Brother Frank Draper and Brother George Draper. Brother George was a wheat farmer from up in the Dakotas. He loved the truth with all his heart and soul, but he liked to argue. And he came and stayed with Dad, and they taught Tabernacle the live long night. Well, I used to come down the stairway and look between the railing and watch them. They talk so much about the wall of faith around the tabernacle. So that's what I learned from them, of peeking through the railings. In 1915, my father took me to New York to a convention, and that's where I was immersed. So we came to Wilmington, and we found that bought this house next door. That was the only thing you could buy. That was in 18. Down the street, in the next block, there was a Brother Camel, and as soon as they heard we were here, we were invited down there, and as soon as they heard we were here, we built this house in 27. They decided that it would be really nice if we took the meeting. And they moved it up here. Peter and I had been married 2 years by then, and the rest of the story is Peter's story.
When I got interested in the Bible student movement, I wrote my mother about it, and I got a reply. I don't know who to curse, you or your father. you because you learned to read, your father that sent you to school and learned to read. And the idea was that I read and accepted something that she would think of accepting, a doctrine or a way of thinking that's strange to the Greek Orthodox Church. The reason we left is I left the church because I got to know through the Bible students what the Bible really taught. And I realized that what the Greek church taught and what the Bible taught are two very different things. I approached the priest at the time and told him when he came out of the sanctuary and announced the resurrection of Jesus, while he said that Christ is risen from the dead, he also added that he, by his death, he has conquered death, and he has granted life everlasting to all that are in their graves. I recited that to the priest, and I told him that, Father, I believe that now, and he told me that I was crazy. That was enough to leave the church.
I started to attend the meetings way back in 1918. The first talk that I heard was by a brother Zook, and it was about the Word of God. That talk captured me. I started to attend meetings, and we had a Friday night meeting in Reading, Pennsylvania. And the leader of that meeting, for some reason or other, asked me to read Galatians 3:8. I read it. He said, now what do you get from that? I said, there's nothing else to get except that God foresaw that he, God, would justify the heathen through faith and preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, and the gospel was that he would bless all the families of the earth. He says, that's beautiful. He says, read the 16th verse. So I read the 16th. What do you get from that? I said, well, there's nothing else to get but that the seed of Abraham that would bless all the families of the earth is Christ. He says, that's right. Then you go to the end of the chapter, and if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir for the promise. I don't doubt my seed. The first time that this doctrine came to my mind or came to my heart, if you are Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham to whom God would bless all the families of the earth. I've never been the same since. I don't expect, and I hope I never change. I moved to Wilmington to get a job. I co-quartered out of Wilmington for a full year. In co-quartering, we established two classes. Eventually, I was ranked at another, and myself, I served the Wilmington class up to 1927. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do? We can't get in the kingdom, dear friends, of a sled. We can't fly in. We can't do anything. We can't speak in. We have to labor, to work, to get in. There is a passage of scripture that comes to my mind lately, and this is the important thing, that the gospel is being preached to the poor. That's the important thing, dear friends. That's what the Lord is asking us to do. And the joy and the happiness of the Lord go along with our obedience. And I urge the parents to help the children to get into the work, some kind of work, the work of the Lord. And the Lord will bless them, make them as happy as I and my wife have been all these many years. Let this convention be the turning point. Let's go back to work. Let's do what we can, what our hands find to do. And the Lord will bless us and take us home.
Thank you, Brother Allen. Let us close this day of convention with the reading of the Songs in the Night by Brother Harry Nugent, and then we'll have a closing hymn and prayer. Brother Harry.
The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 15:33. The parable of a man with a beam in his own eye trying to pick the mote out of his brother's eye was a forceful method whereby the master inculcated the necessity of humility on the part of those who would be taught of God.